Welcome. This is Emily Reed, and today we will be discussing American Founding Father John Jay and his role in slavery. Daniel C. Littlefield, a professor at the University of South Carolina and celebrated author, suggests in his publication, John Jay, the Revolutionary Generation in Slavery, that Jay recognized the paradoxical act of urging the abolition of slavery while owning slaves himself. Jay did recognize this conflict, but strove to correct what he viewed as a black mark on the newly established United States. John Jay was born on December 12, 1745 in New York. He was the sixth of seven children born to Peter Jay, a wealthy merchant and slave owner. Jay was educated at the prestigious King's College, which later became Columbia University. In 1768, 4 years after completing college, Jay began his own law practice and later married Sarah Livingston, the wealthy daughter of the governor of New Jersey. Jay became involved in New York politics and in 1774 represented New York at the First Continental Congress. At first, Jay did not fully support the revolution, but he accepted his position as colonel in the New York militia and supported New York's position in favor of the Declaration of Independence. After the revolution, Jay succeeded in negotiating the Treaty of Paris with Great Britain, securing independence and peace between the two nations. Jay held many important state and federal government positions. Under the Articles of Confederation, the first government of the new nation, Jay was appointed Secretary of Foreign Affairs. After the Articles of Confederation was replaced by the Constitution, Jay was appointed Chief Justice of the United States. Jay then served as governor of New York from 1795 until 1801. During the late 18th century, slavery was not a southern monopoly as it was in the 19th century. 14% of New York State's population was slaves, and New York City was the second largest slaveholding city in the United States. Slavery was not yet seen as a disgrace to the North. As John Jay put it, very few among them, meaning Northerners, even doubted the propriety and rectitude of it. Personally, Jay wanted to gradually abolish slavery and provide compensation to slaveholders. At the conclusion of the Revolutionary War, each state was tasked to create a state constitution. Jay helped write the New York document and attempted to include abolishing slavery. He was unable to do this, however, because he was absent for a few days during the Constitutional Convention, and when he returned, the Constitution was complete. His clause to end domestic slavery was excluded from the Constitution. Jay expressed his regret and disappointment for being unsuccessful at ending slavery in New York in a letter to his kinsman Robert Livingston and Governor Morris, a fellow King's College graduate. Like most founding fathers, Jay held slaves. However, he claimed that he bought slaves for humane reasons, and after his slaves had labored enough to pay off his investment of purchasing them, he freed them. Littlefield sees this as receiving the benefits of slavery while avoiding moral opprobrium. Although Jay's purposes were controversial, he did free many of his slaves over time and was publicly pro-manumission, manumission being the act of freeing slaves. In 1785, Jay, along with other New York elite, including Alexander Hamilton, founded the New York Manumission Society. Most of the members of the society, like Jay, owned slaves. Jay was president of the society until he was appointed Chief Justice of the United States. The society established the African Free School in 1787. The school emphasized teaching proper moral behavior and basic education for blacks. The school enrolled both girls and boys. Jay and his family largely funded the school. In 1799, an act for the gradual abolition of slavery was passed by the New York legislature. After being denied his goal in the state constitution, Jay finally achieved his goal and his governor signed the act into law. The act declared that all male children born after July 4, 1799 were free after reaching age 28, and all female children born after that date were free once they reached 25. This act did not free all slaves in New York, but it ensured that New York would be a free state in the foreseeable future, which was Jay's hope. Jay strove to end slavery for future people, not necessarily ending it in the late 18th century. He wanted to impress the horrors of slavery on future generations, which he did. Jay's son William was an ardent abolitionist. In 1786, John Jay wrote a letter to a Mr. Lushington stating that it was dishonorable for the country not to emancipate the slaves, and as he put it, to contend for our own liberty and to deny that blessing to others involves an inconsistency not to be excused. Jay wanted to end what he felt was a stain on the new nation, but felt it had to be gradual. Although he did not end slavery immediately, because he acknowledged that it was an integral part of American society, he did end slavery in New York, which, despite the seeming contradiction, was his goal.